3rd Battalion, 5th Marines.
Mm-hmm.
I had a young Marine come to me, and he said, "Chaplain, I've had it. I've been in Operation Union 1, Union 2, and Swift, all of which were bloody operations." And he said, "You know, I don't know how many enemy troops I killed, but finally it caught up with me. I just can't do it anymore. And I need to make a claim now that I have become a conscientious objector." And what's interesting is that when someone says that, they have to prove it.
Hmm.
What happened was all the guys in his platoon wrote statements supporting him, saying, "You know, PFC so-and-so was in combat, did heroic deeds. He even killed people. And we've observed him, and he has completely changed. And we honestly believe he's a conscientious objector, and therefore we believe he should be removed from a combat zone." And he was.
Was there a tension between, say, your role regarding the military and then your role as a man of God? Did those two things ever sort of come into tension with each other?
Oh, yeah. You know, of course it would get to my gut. First off, you know, someone has said that chaplains bring God to people and people to God. And if not careful, a chaplain can turn into a combat zone cheerleader, praising the Lord and passing the ammunition, or passing the Lord and praising the ammunition. Like so many people, I grapple with values and priorities. That is, I walk a spiritual tightrope.
Talk about what that spiritual tightrope is. What's on the one side? What's on the other?
Well, the spiritual tightrope has to do with killing. I want to be a man of peace. Yet I've chosen to be with troops in combat to provide solace, not to, praise the ammunition and pass the Lord. No. If these troops did not have a chaplain, where would they be? And I felt that having been an enlisted Marine and having been in combat myself, I felt a special calling to become a Navy chaplain. And I was against the Vietnam War, dead against it. Yet I volunteered to go and specifically asked to be with infantry Marines so that I could be with them and respond to their needs, to their questions. I had an experience in Korea as a young Marine where I just was thrown into a situation, into a culture, into war. I'd never experienced these things before. I was only 19 years old. And I remember going to the chaplain and just opening my gut and telling him what was happening within me, that I was beginning to lose my faith, and that somehow I had questions about war, killing, justice, God, etc. And, you know, if you'd only listened and tried to understand, I think it would have been comforting. Sometimes to say nothing is comforting. But what he said was, "Well, you know, if you become a member of my denomination, you'll be okay." Well, you know, that to me was not satisfying. I don't like pat answers like that. And I walked away completely, completely distraught. And I never forgot it. And so when I went to Vietnam and was with these troops and listened to them, if I thought I knew the answer to a question, I would give my answer. But so many times I didn't have an answer. I didn't know. And I'd tell them honestly, you know, "I don't know, but let's talk about the question."
How did your time as a chaplain with the Marines come to affect your own views on the question of killing and when or if it's ever justified?
It probably changed some of my theological perceptions, about the subject. I have not become a pacifist, but you know, I do admire people who, like the Quakers, who are pacifists. But I think a lot of my thinking, my actions have been tempered by what I've experienced.
And do you think it pushed you more or less in the direction of pacifism, being in...
It probably turned me towards pacifism.
How interesting. Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Because I see the futility of so much of war. I mean, I guess some of it has to be fought, but so much is futile.
When you were talking to soldiers about this, were people worried about their spiritual well-being? Or was it a more practical concern that they had?
Yes. I think a lot of them were. And what's interesting is when you're back in the States and you have a chapel service on Sunday, not many... young enlisted guys show up for chapel. You know, they're on liberty too, but still, you know, they don't feel the need. But when you get into a combat situation, you get a lot of young enlisted, in fact, a lot of people attending field services. Let me read something here about those. Marines who would worship. I'm talking about field services. Here's what I wrote. In combat, a Marine who worships presents no facades when he worships. He offers God no argument, no defense, only himself as he is. He is acquainted with death. Christ's, his buddies, that of the North Vietnamese soldier he's killed, even the possibility of his own. Pontius Pilate, Roman soldier, penitent thief, Jesus' disciples, Christ himself, he identifies with them all. And when receiving bread and wine, he knows precisely what he tastes, death and life, judgment and hope, bitterness and salvation. End of quote.